Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Clap, 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 clap your hands and stomp your feet.
You're listening to the Clap Your Hands podcast,
hosted by Elliot Shure-Parks and Jack Fritz.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I mean, that was embarrassing. Welcome on in. It's another edition of the Clap Your Hands podcast presented by Coors Light. I'm going to need some Coors Lights for this one today because...
Yeah, I think so.
Holy cow. Elliot Shure-Parks, Jack Fritz hanging out on this Sunday afternoon in... I hate to say it should have been a win. It was a coin flip game. They've lost three coin flip games this series. They are neck and neck with this Knicks team, and they just consistently find ways to lose basketball games. It's what they do. Yeah. Like, I give them some credit in some of the games of fighting and whatever, because I think the rest of the team sucks besides the first two. But, man, they just don't nut up when it's time. They just don't. How you doing, buddy?
So I was texting you during the game, and I was saying it was an awesome basketball game. Like, I got home, it was a beautiful day outside, put the game on. It felt not like a finals game, but the beginning of it felt incredibly tense. Like, the atmosphere was awesome. Everyone was making shots. Brunson was playing great. Maxey was doing things early on. Embiid was playing great. And then what sucked is, as has been the case over the past 5 years, they didn't make the plays at the end. Like, I agree with you. This Sixers team, I think, is arguably better than the Knicks, or at least right there. If you want to say the Knicks are here, the Sixers there, whatever.
They're neck and neck.
They've lost three coin flip games. And as much as I can point to that and say there's some element of luck, we both agreed game two, they got, you know, pretty hurt by the officials at the end. This is a Sixers team that consistently doesn't win these games, whether it's Game 6 last year with a chance to close the Celtics out at home. Completely no-showing in Game 7. Game 5 against the Hawks. Game 7 against the Hawks. I mean, you can go on and on. So as much as the beginning of the game felt like way more than a first-round playoff game and felt like way more than a Game 4 of a first-round playoff game, the ending felt familiar. It felt like how I normally feel at the end of Sixers games, big Sixers games, where I can point to this and, you know, all the whatever, and we'll talk about the specifics. But it would be nice for once to end a Sixers game like that, feeling really good about it. And they didn't. They Maxey and Embiid were awful in the fourth quarter. Brunson completely outplayed both the Sixers stars.
Yeah, which is a problem. And
yeah, I would say so.
We talked last podcast about how, okay, I guess the whole strategy is to let Brunson kill him and then hopefully he can shut everyone else down. The problem is he did. And every shot he missed, they got a freaking rebound on.
It was like, unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
I just don't get how that happens. Like, how does Josh Hart, who is 6'3", whatever, he's able to, like, I don't know, Superman jump over every single Sixer.
He can jump insanely high.
It's just, go get a freaking rebound, man. Like, go get a freaking rebound and do your job.
100%.
How you let that happen in your home court, and between the Brunson MVP chance, which is infuriating. The Knicks fans, credit to them. I mean, they don't take it over.
You know what it felt like?
For a playoff game, it's embarrassing. For a playoff game, it's embarrassing.
So it felt like when I go to Eagles games on the road and I tweet out, man, fans of Philly is really taking this over. And look at all the – that's what I felt like I was watching with Knicks fans. It sounded like it.
It doesn't happen here, Elliot. Like, that's not – like this.
I agree. I agree with you. I'm saying – but that's what it reminded me of.
This is Philadelphia. It's not Miami. It's not – These bleep hole horrible sports towns. Like, the fact that it's happening to us makes me sick. It just 100% makes me sick. So you have that. You have getting outworked on the boards, and I just have no idea. I have no idea what the plan was late. Like, what was the plan late in the game? Like, Maxey looked terrified at the moment. I don't know what Embiid was doing. Oubre's jacking shots for no reason. Like, the only one that seemed like had any sense of the moment was Kyle Lowry.
So there was the one possession. I forget how many minutes were left. It was maybe 2.5 minutes, something like that. It might have been a little less. Maxey has the ball on the perimeter. He tries to get by his guy. I think it was maybe OG guarding him. Pass it to Lowry. Lowry passes it back to him. Maxey tries again. Can't get past the guy. Passes it to Embiid. And Embiid has to shoot it, and it gets blocked. So there's two really concerning things about that. One, to your point, Maxey looked shaken by the moment late. And I'll give him credit. In this series early, like in game two, he made big plays on the road. So I don't think this is a consistent issue with him. But tonight, he looked worried and shaken by that moment. But I think the more worrisome thing might be, something we talked about for months, and you've repeatedly said, is when you're a 6-foot guard that's, you know, I don't want to say underweight, but if you compare him to Brunson, I think, is definitely thicker. In these big moments, it's harder for you to get through the perimeter to the basket. So was he shaken on that possession? I think so. He had a bad fourth quarter. The play where he had the breakaway and he got the ball bounced off him and they got it back, like, that should have been a basket. There was a wide open three he had that he took, to his credit, but he missed. That has to be a make. But the bigger concern might just be that as this series has gone on, they have worn Maxey down. I mean, game three, I know he had 29 points, and obviously Embiid's cooking, but he's gotten worse as this series has gone on. And I think part of it is because he's an undersized guard that they figured out how to take care of. I mean, did he have any points in the fourth quarter? I think maybe four.
He had four, and then he made the one free throw.
He had five,
Because of the Lowry heads up play to generate them,
which I thought was going to win him the game for a second. I mean, that was a big play, and they actually ended up getting kind of screwed by that because they make the free throw. But if you remember on that play, Embiid makes a three, like maybe his foot's on the line, but the play results in Embiid making a basket. Lowry gets the call. Maxey makes the free throw, and they don't score. So they actually lose 2 points on that possession, or 4 points, I guess, in a roundabout way.
Sure, but I mean, it's still pretty heads up on Kyle.
No, it's a great play. I'm saying they got screwed. It didn't break their way. Is all I'm saying.
No, it didn't. But the I don't know. It just feels like we're right back where we've been the last. I know you and I have only been doing this podcast for this year. Obviously, you did the fake version of this podcast.
Yes.
You know, the year before, and obviously ended the same way. But this I feel like there's no take that I have right now, Elliot, that contradicts itself more by the game than give this team a clean slate heading into the playoffs. Because
it's just tonight, not going to happen.
Because tonight felt, or today, it's every reason why they shouldn't get a clean slate. Mm-hmm. Like, it's every reason why. And sure, like, Nurse annoyed me to no end by the end. Maxey, sure, came up small. There is one common denominator. And if we're going to do the whole, well, he's on one leg and one eye, but when he's cooking, I never hear any of that stuff. He looked healthy today. Like, I was fully prepared. I wanted to come on here. I wanted to peacock. I wanted to freak out. I wanted to be so happy because Embiid looks perfectly fine. I know we saw the eye bugging out a little bit late, and that's definitely there. But for the most part, like games one and two, we saw him hobbling up and down the court. He looked healthy tonight. And when he looks like that and you score 1 point in the fourth quarter, 1 point in the, and when you're getting outworked on the boards, now to the Nurse point, did he make a mistake? Not, I mean, he played every minute of the second half.
So that's where I was going to go. Look, I agree with you. 10 years in, I know he didn't play two, but 10 years into the Embiid thing, it is a little tiring always doing the, hey, man, I know they lost, but he was actually plus one in his minutes, and he's really trying out there. And, like, he deserves credit for that. He does. But it can't be that because he has to play every minute of the second half, we completely excuse a fourth quarter where he made no impact on the game. I know he played. He had to play all the minutes. And I know he had to play those minutes because when he's off the court, they can't stay together. And that's Morey's fault. That's Maxey's fault. That's Nick Nurse's fault. That's Tobias Harris's fault. That's Paul Reed's fault. There's a lot of reasons why when he's not on the court, they can't stay together. But the problem is when your best player has to be on the court every single minute, that player cannot be a center. It can't be a center. Like the physical part of the game where he gets hurt, that is what it's a big body. Like he just can't play. What did he play? Probably 44 minutes today, something like that. 45. I mean, late in the game, he looked completely wiped. And I'll say this, that possession at the end after the Lowry foul. So they get the Lowry foul. Maxey makes the free throw. They get the ball back. They run what looked like the exact same play. Embiid doesn't pop as much. Before he went to take a three, this time he's a little more shallow. He's wide open. There's no one by him. And he pump fakes and goes to the basket. Now, did he get fouled at the basket? Maybe. But the bottom line is that shot was wide open for you, man. You had a wide open jumper. It's your best shot. You are one of the best mid-range jumpers in the NBA. You're wide open. It's taking more time off the clock by you going to the basket. You have to shoot that. And I don't think it was he was afraid. It was just a really poor play by him. It was poor judgment. So down the stretch, they made bad decisions.
So here's what I can't tell. So in the moment, I felt exactly the way you felt. I felt like it reminded me so, and I was sitting there, and maybe because I had a Coors Light, but there was a cold shiver that went down my spine.
Yeah, I know what you're about to say.
And I said, that's what Ben did.
Yep, like, that's his Ben moment. Yeah.
That's what Ben did. But here is where I settled on that play, is that he's trying to get an and one. Because like,
yeah, but here's my thing. You can't, man. Like, you have the jumper wide open. It's right there. You need to take it and score. What were they down? 4 points at that point, if I'm not mistaken. I get the and one is beneficial. A, you're giving yourself a harder shot, so you don't even know if you'll make it. So maybe you get two free throws. Two, you don't know, or B, you don't know if you're going to get the foul call. You don't. I know that there's – and look, I want to have a discussion about the refs in general. I feel like a problem the NBA has is this series has been dominated by ref talk, which is exhausting. But – you can't go in looking for the foul. You can't. Like, that free throw, that shot is wide open, man. Like, you have to take it.
Sure. I just, now I'm not one to educate you on math, but but 3 points is better than 2 points.
I get that, but you had two almost guaranteed points versus 3 points. Yeah,
I know. But yeah, it legitimately felt like Ben. It felt exactly like Ben, where he just passed up a wide open shot for utterly no reason. And yep. I feel
they were down four. They were down four.
I just feel so much emotion off this game, mostly because it feels like we're right back where we started. And it's annoying that, like, the Knicks, and it's not like I'm not really taking anything away from the Knicks. Like, Brunson was amazing. They got every loose ball. Like, that's who they are. Like, they know their identity. And I just can't believe that in a game that, again, this is the fourth straight game that's felt like a coin flip. I don't know how a basketball team, like, maybe Tobias is soft, maybe these guys are soft. I don't know how you get worked that bad on the boards. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how you have any kind of, like, self-pride to let that happen. It's infuriating. Like, this is,
well, and it's not,
tell me this, watching them get outworked on the boards, it's basically like watching what the Eagles defense did against the Bucks. Where it's just, it's like, this is supposed to be, I don't want to do the whole Philly team versus not Philly, but this, it's so un-Philadelphia.
So let me say one thing. One, I do agree there is an element to this of effort. I also think we have to acknowledge the Knicks are one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the league. They make everybody
effort.
Look like
that's
this.
Effort.
No, I know, but I think it's a combination of effort and skill is all I'm saying. The Knicks are, like, to your point, Josh Hart is a fantastic offensive rebound. He's really good at it. But to make things even worse for the Sixers, Hartenstein wasn't even in for what, like the whole fourth quarter?
Well,
the last, like,
dude,
12 minutes
Tom Thibodeau should be embarrassed. I mean, he let him play with five fouls in the third quarter. Yeah. Like what are you doing?
All in the third quarter. But even the offensive rebounding numbers are actually not that bad. It's 15 for the Knicks, 9 for the Sixers. Again, not great for sure. But what they got a lot of were, like, the ball comes off and, you know, whatever. Like, OG, like, swipes it off a guy. And then it's, like, they created a ton of extra points. And shout out to I forget who tweeted it, but I saw this tweet that there was 8 straight possessions or something like that where the Knicks got not just one second chance opportunity, but another one after that. Like, they were getting, and again, momentum breakers. Like, the game was extremely intense. And the Sixers, I thought, actually matched the intensity of the game for a really long time. But in the fourth quarter, and I don't know if it's because they're at home, and granted, a lot of Knicks fans, but there's still something with this team where it gets really tight and the other team makes the big plays. The other team makes the hustle play. The other team makes the big shot. And the Sixers, they shrink to the moment.
They do. And that's the biggest problem, Elliot. Like, yeah. Again, they can go get Paul George this offseason. Another guy, a classic rise.
I was
going to
say,
guy.
Twitter was not wanting Paul George last night or two nights ago, whatever it was.
Like, another rise to the moment kind of guy. It just, there's just something off. And listen, at some point, it's about Embiid. I mean, he's the best player.
It is about Embiid. This whole thing is about Embiid. Like, it can't be that he plays every minute of the second half and that's an excuse for him to play poorly. He had no impact on that game in the fourth quarter. None. The only memorable Embiid play I have from that fourth quarter is him passing up that jumper. That's it. I don't remember anything else. I mean, I hate to continually go back and forth, but, like, I just hate that they're built around a big center. Brunson is a guard, and I know he's undersized, but he dominated that second half. And when he came back in, even after I think it ended up being a knee injury, he still looked better than Embiid. Embiid looked tired. I don't think he looked checked out. I do genuinely think through this series so far, he has played with a better attitude than we're normally used to seeing. Mm-hmm. And not to jump ahead, but my main feeling after I left that game or, you know, finished watching it was, I think they're going to no-show on Tuesday. Like, I think game 5 has major game 7 Boston potential. It would not shock me if that game starts and within 5 or 6 minutes, they're down 15 points. You know, like, the crowd's going wild. You can see the panic because you could feel it. You can just feel that they were blowing it at the end. And I'm worried they're going to go to New York and it's going to be really ugly.
Yeah. I mean, it would be incredibly disappointing if that happens. It's just like,
feel like that's what's going to happen?
I don't. I really don't. I mean, I saw some people saying that after the game, like, they're going to no-show. I still think this team, while today was very frustrating, I still believe they've shown me more than the last couple years of Sixers teams. Obviously, coming down to crunch time, it didn't work out today. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, while Embiid, frustrating. Maxey, frustrating. Like, again, Maxey, like, you know it's tough for Embiid to score late. Like, Maxey just completely got out physical and taken out of the game.
Yeah, and sorry to keep interrupting you, but really quick. Like, Maxey.
Here we go. It's all about Elliot.
Real quick. Dude, like, Maxey has to be better when Embiid is out. He has to be better. If you're going to max this guy this offseason, there's been debates we've had on this pod where they've been better off with Lillard. And through the first 3 games, that looks silly considering Lillard's hurt. I would have rather had Lillard tonight. I mean, Lillard takes that game over.
Sure. But while I'm frustrated with those two, and I think that's fair, and I'm frustrated with Nurse, like, I don't know. There's back-to-back possessions within 3 minutes, 2 minutes left in the game that it was like, this is not NBA basketball. It was that atrocious. Yeah. I'm frustrated with all those three. I still think the main culprit as to why they are not that good and why they will not probably win this series in a series that is essentially neck and neck is they don't have a good roster around these guys at all. I mean, like, mm-hmm. It's punting at the deadline. They didn't – Elliot, the guy who said that Buddy Hield was the best player traded at the deadline did not play today.
Yeah,
did
great point.
Did not play today. They traded 3 second-round picks for the guy. They traded Marcus Morris, who I would bet my freaking ass would be able to rebound the goddamn basketball.
Yeah, he'd like, be perfect for this series.
You know who else would be perfect for the series? Pat Beverly. And it's not like Campaign came in and did his thing, and that's fine. Whatever. Campaign, I'm not wrong about Campaign. He's still a marginal NBA player, but at least in these kind of games, he has some juice. But they traded away toughness for Buddy freaking Hield, who cannot get on the court. He cannot get on the court because he's afraid to shoot. So, like, this is also a huge, huge indictment on Daryl Morey. Like, find a way to build a basketball team that has some guts, that has some toughness. He's never done it. He's never done it with Harden. Never been was able to do it with Houston. And so far here, he has not been able to find a winner, build a winner. He lucked into Lowry because Lowry wanted to play for Nick Nurse. I do not give him credit at all. And this sounds very Howard Eskin. This sounds like Howard, and I'm sorry. But I don't give him credit for it. I don't care. It was that's a Nick Nurse decision of go get me. Like, I just, it's, they punted at the deadline, and that's why they're going to be going home in the first round, even though it kind of feels like the second round because they beat the Heat.
Yeah, so I think it's a fantastic point. Buddy playing 0 minutes tonight is a massive indictment of Morey and what he did at the deadline. This series was winnable. And maybe, who knows, you win game five. Like, we can do the whole song and dance as if maybe they have a chance. But these first four games have all been extremely close. It has been a difference of 4 or 5 plays. And it's been a difference of second chance opportunities of the Knicks getting loose balls that the Sixers are not. And it, again, it's I really don't think it's an effort thing. I think it is like they don't have guys that are good at getting down to the ground and getting these loose balls. Like Pat Bev would be good at it. Marcus Morris would be built for this. Can you imagine Marcus Morris in this game today with Dawn Staley in the crowd? Like it would be a perfect, perfect game.
Well, Dawn Staley, like Dr. J, Allen Iverson.
Yeah, like I think he would have risen. And again, I'm not saying they're losing, so they don't have Marcus Morris. But the Buddy Hield thing is an excellent point. He was their biggest acquisition, and he did absolutely nothing tonight. And yeah, I mean, I had an Embiid point, but it's slipping my mind. But, oh yeah, this is it. So you're talking about how the roster around them is not good enough and doesn't have that mentality. I don't disagree. But it feels a little bit like talking about the Eagles and saying, well, they're bringing in all these culture guys, you know, to make it better. No, like the culture has to start with Jalen Hurts with the Eagles. He has to be the one to set the tone. He has to be the one on the sideline telling people let's go and, you know, getting them out of that slump at the end of the season. I agree. The guys they have, Toby doesn't really have that dog mentality, to quote Sirianni. Like Maxey kind of has it, but he looks shaken up today. It has to come from Embiid. It has to. And it's just not in his personality. And I know he's tired, but I can't sit here and Morey deserves blame for the Buddy thing. But the issue with if you think this is a soft team, they're like 1,000%. The team is who their leader is. It trickles down from there. And Embiid in these games Embiid has all types of teammates throughout his career. And I'm not saying he's had great ones, right? Like Ben Simmons, James Harden. He's not had an all-star cast around him. But we've seen them lose a lot of these type of games. And the main thing to how you started this pod is not that Kelly Oubre's been here for 5 years, that Buddy's been here for 5 years. It's that Embiid, in these big moments, for whatever reason, continually, more times than not, comes up small.
Right. And I think it's the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. You know what I mean? Like, if Embiid had and we could never do this because it's a pure hypothetical, and we wouldn't know how it would work. But if Embiid had Jokic's team around him, what would that team do? Would they be in the same spot that the Nuggets are? Or is that a testament to kind of Jokic's greatness? I know that pains you.
I can't believe you're bringing up Jokic on a day like today after that loss.
But it matters. It matters. Yeah, like if Embiid was on the Nuggets, would they be as good as the Nuggets are? I don't know that. I would like to think they would. But there's also just something about him late in games that you just can't trust him. Like, you haven't been able to trust him ever. Again, and I can't believe it's year 10. year eight of really playing.
Right.
And like he's never made a conference final. Like, we're talking about a guy who is going to be a lock Hall of Famer. Like an absolute, no doubt about it, one of the top.
He could never play again and he'd be in there.
70 most talented, almost talented players, one of like the 40 most talented players in NBA history.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
And it's just there's nothing to show for it. And, like, listen, whatever happens, game, like, I would be shocked if they came back from 3-1 down. I just would. I would.
No, they're not going to come back from 3-1 down. There's no way they – I mean, again, because these four games have been coin flip games. The Sixers will play a coin flip game. I think if they win game five, I think game six could be close. I think there's a better chance they get blown out in game five than they win game five. I think this has major no-show potential by this team. I think they know they're cooked. I don't think they believe they can fight back from this. So our producer,
but
Jake.
Isn't that also on Embiid, though? I mean, isn't that
yes,
also
it's 1,000% on Embiid. I can picture this game already. 3 or 4 minutes in, Embiid's really frustrated. Embiid's playing with emotion. And all of a sudden, a few plays don't go their way. Brunson makes a big three. Dante DiVincenzo makes a big three. And then there's a look on Embiid's face. Like, I can see Nick Nurse putting his hands up. Like, I can envision this game perfectly. Our producer, Jake, put this in the chat. And not saying this about him. But so this is Joel's 11th career playoff loss with a positive plus minus. I simply can't do it anymore with the plus minus in Embiid's career. I would mock any other player relentlessly if their fans continually brought up the plus minus over an 8-year playoff career. Is it noteworthy? Yes. Is it a problem the Sixers need to fix? Yes. It is not a defense of Joel Embiid. It's just not. It doesn't make Joel great that he constantly has a positive plus minus in playoff games. Like, it's on him.
What has it led to?
It's on him. Like, this, it's on him that they haven't got to the conference finals. It absolutely is.
Do you think that James Jackson did not partake in the podcast today because he would have been wearing the Nova hat? And
he's Brunson, celebrating Brunson.
Well, Brunson did set a Nick actually, career here's a high.
Should Villanova fans like Lowry more than Brunson, or is Brunson higher up on the Nova power pole?
Oh, Brunson's definitely higher.
Brunson is, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, like this.
We want a title.
Let's get into real hoop talk. You know what I mean?
Let's do it.
Jared Wright was a choker before 2016. You know, I mean, he choked with the Lowry teams, the Allen Ray teams, the Scotty Reynolds teams, and then he figured it out in his late career. But before that, yeah, he was a bit of a notorious choker. Brunson's a killer, man. He's one of those guys that you watch as a Philadelphia sports fan and watch him kind of kill your team. And it's like, man, I wish that guy was ours. You know, I wish we had that kind of guy. And like, it's just such a difference when he starts cooking. I like that he got it in Embiid's face, like, and then he scored what, 7 straight after that. Like, the guy's just a killer, man. And and I think tonight, from a Knick perspective, let's turn this into a nice little Knicks podcast. But like, you saw the value of OG. I mean, OG Anunoby was all over the boards, made some shots. Josh Hart didn't kill him outside. I mean, like
I thought he made an impact on the game, though. Like, his numbers weren't great, but it felt like he was one of the foremost impactful players in that game.
Totally did, but just didn't make those shots that he'd been making the first 3 games of the series. Brunson, killer. Hart, killer. DiVincenzo had, like, a little run in the fourth quarter, back-to-back threes. OG, you saw it. They just have more winning basketball play. Like, dude, here's a bad sign. I mean, I know the series is probably over, but I don't believe that Bogdanović played the second half after he busted up his ankle.
No, I don't. I think he played like a minute all game, didn't he?
Yeah,
like,
he got hurt really quickly
as soon as he came in. Yeah.
So the fact that, again, you lose and that's probably their most scoring punch off the bench, and you lost with Hartenstein having 5 fouls in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Hart. You lose with Precious Achiuwa, who stinks.
Missed the dunk.
Having to play a lot of minutes. And, I mean, OG pretty much guarded Embiid in the fourth quarter, and Embiid scored 1 point. I mean, that's a huge issue. It's a huge issue.
So we want to do the whole plus-minus thing. Like, he was -4 in the fourth quarter. He had 1 point in the fourth quarter. You're not going to win a must-win playoff game at home with your best player having 1 point in the fourth quarter.
No.
Like, it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. And it can't be because he's played all the time. Like, it can't be that, and I know he's hurt and he's dealing with things, but it's, so remember when we did that podcast where I was like, I've had it, right? That's how I feel discussing these playoff losses. I feel like I'm driving myself crazy saying the same thing again and again. And what really hurts and sucks about it is going into this game, I was texting some of my friends, like, do you think they're going to win? And I said, yes, because I trusted Maxie and Embiid going into tonight. And it just hurts. It's just like game 5 last year. And I know we said after the last pod, hopefully this isn't that game 5 from Boston, but they go into Boston. They have an outstanding game. We all believe, again, this team's different. They lose game 6 in somewhat similar fashion to this. And then they no-show in game 7. Like, that's where it feels like it's going. And to the Brunson Maxi thing, because I remember we were debating that on one of our clap your hands nights at McGurk's. I think Maxi has it in him to score as many points as Brunson does. But the issue with how Maxi scores compared to how Brunson scores is Maxey just basically jacks up threes and hopes they go in, and then he can do stuff in the open court. The way Brunson can like linger around the perimeter, you know, use his guys to get space, get into to the paint, like uses his body, like it's impressive to watch. And Embiid's elbow to Brunson, man. Like, what are you doing? I get it. It's like it's playoff basketball. Why the dude's running by? He clearly puts his elbow up to foul him. He's lucky that that wasn't called a flagrant. I thought that was a far bigger flagrant than the Brunson thing that they actually reviewed. Brunson's running right by Embiid. He puts his elbow up and he gets away with it. Like, that should have been reviewed. That was a flagrant coming off the flagrant on Mitchell that should have got him ejected the game before. It feels like he started to lose his cool a little bit in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And I mean, when do you feel like when you can kind of hear the voices and you can hear NBA mm-hmm. Twitter and like, oh, Embiid once again can't get even out of the first round this time. I think he's one of those guys that cares a lot about that stuff. And I think it 100% is starting to show up on the court. And like the biggest difference between Brunson and Maxey is that, and this is not, it's not really anti-Maxey. It's just, it's how I feel watching him. Mm-hmm. Is that Maxey just plays the game like a six man all the time, whereas Brunson controls everything.
Yeah.
Like Brunson's controlling the pace. He's controlling everything on offense. Like, he's not a great assist guy, but he makes heady basketball decisions. Whereas Maxey can score and he can do all that stuff. But also, there was some, like, what was annoying about tonight early in the game, and I know he didn't sit in the second half, but in the first half, they were kind of dominating in the game, and then Embiid left the court.
Yeah.
Maxey, I don't think, scored a point. And he let the Knicks...
Certainly didn't feel like it.
Like, he let the Knicks right back into the basketball game. Like, that's... And it's so... What bothers me about sports discussion in this town right now is if you say that about Maxey, it's like, well, you hate Maxey. I don't hate Maxey at all. I love mm-hmm. Maxey. I think he's a really fun player. But there's a difference between what Maxey does and what Brunson does. And Brunson controls everything, whereas Maxey is kind of just he plays almost like a six man where he goes and he can score. But when he's not scoring, there's almost no impact. Like, no impact.
It's a little like Deuce McBride, honestly. Like, it's a similar style.
That's a little harsh, man.
Little harsh, but I'm saying in terms of their style, it feels similar. Look, I agree with you. I think that this was our worst fear come to life in terms of the Sixers needing someone to bail and beat out, and no one could do it. I will say, like, game two against the Knicks still did happen at the Garden. There's been impressive moments from Maxey. The Heat wins earlier. Like,
this should be a 2-2 series at worst.
100%. 100%.
And the Sixers could be up 100%. 3-1. And I'll let you, and then this is my turn to interrupt you, but I meant to bring this
go
up earlier.
It. It's all about Jack. Yeah.
Thank you. Is that the difference between this year and last year is that, like, they were knocking on the doorstep of taking down a Celtics team that is an NBA Finals contender. This mm-hmm. Knicks team's not that. Like, I don't think
I
think that Celtics team's better than this Knicks team.
Agree with that.
And that's what's kind of concerning about how close the series has been.
But to me, I know it is the first round, and it will count as a first round.
It just doesn't feel like it. This still feels like the second round, just letting you know.
It does. It feels exactly like the second round. And it feels like the quality of team – excuse me. It feels like the quality of team they have played.
Stotts just hit a home run. Okay. Everything's fine.
Got it. Okay, nice. The day has turned around. Phillies might be really good. I know we had this text thing earlier, but I'm in on the Phillies, which is maybe bad news for you, but I am in on the Phillies. I lost my train of thought.
This Knicks team versus Celtics.
Oh yeah, so the Knicks aren't as good as the Celtics last year, and I don't think the Knicks are legitimate. They're not. They don't look like a title contender to me. But in this year, in this Eastern Conference, they probably are the second best. Actually, they definitely are the second best team in the East, especially with Milwaukee completely cratered. So it just sucks that of the three actually good teams in the East, two of them are playing in the first round. And that's because Embiid missed time and they ended up being the set, like all those things, right? But the Knicks team is beatable. It just sucks that they're going to lose what has been four awesome games. It sucks they're down 3-1 when they all were coin flips. And it sucks that this is going to go down as an embarrassing loss for the Sixers when it is a good Knicks team they're playing. Like, it is. It just is. It just sucks they never beat good teams. I mean, once they lose this series, once again, the best team they'll have beaten is that Raptors team with Pascal Siakam.
Siakam, whatever. Yeah, and I think that's 100% fair, and I agree with you. There was a point, dude, what was it, like the end of the third quarter? And not that today was not infuriating, and like I was yelling at the TV for the first time in a while about a Sixers game. Like, I was just that annoyed when they'd had the back-to-back possession. But in the third quarter, when I went like Brunson 3, Embiid 3, like it was back
and forth. It was
awesome. I was like, this is... It's been such a good, tough, entertaining series. And I think that's what's made it more hurtful, is probably a little strong, but what's made it more painful, I guess, in the way, is that it feels like a toughness series. It feels like a grit series. And they're folding in that department. They're folding in toughness, and they're folding in late game winning basketball. Like, me and you 100% blame the refs in game two. And there's a lot of outcomes as a part of it, you know, like that affected the outcome of the game. But the more and more I get removed from that and the emotion of the game, they made a lot of choking plays late.
Yeah.
And it speaks to the true DNA of this basketball team. And I think that's what's been the most harrowing and haunting thing that has happened this entire series, is that same feeling of they never pick us up. They always find a way to lose late. That's what made it so annoying, and that's what makes it like we're on year 7, really, of the Embiid thing, and they just cannot do it. I don't get it. They've changed. They've gone from Brett to Doc to a quote-unquote championship-level head coach, but there's one common denominator.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
And I think what's frustrating too about it is there can be games like game 3 where Embiid has one of the best playoff games we've ever seen from someone in a Sixers uniform. There can be games like game 2 where Maxey makes a bunch of shots late where they should have won the game. What we're finding out about a team led by Joel Embiid is they just can't do it four times in 7 games against a great team. Like, they're not getting embarrassed in any of these series. They've lost game 7 3 times. They lost game 7 to the Raptors, game 7 to the Hawks, game 7 to the Celtics. This one is probably not going to end up going 7, but they have shown up in this series for the most part. Like, in the closing moments, they haven't. But going into this, I was expecting no shows from Maxey and Embiid, and that has not been the case. What sucks is they show these moments of being great, but they can't do. They can't put it together 4 times in 7 games. That's that literally is all there is to it. They cannot put it together 4 times in 7 games.
Yeah. All right. I got like some things in my note bag that I want to unload and run by you, if that's
all right. Look at you, Jackie basketball note bag.
To close out this podcast. Could not believe the amount of Knicks fans. Like, I know we talked about it earlier, but for a playoff game in Philadelphia, back to back, by the way, and listen, the way it sounded on TV, I'm sure like they jacked up the audio of it. But it sounded like 20% of the audience was Knicks fans. And
if not more. Like, and it looked like looking on the TV, there was a lot of Knicks fans in there.
Game 3, I give them a pass. You're down 2-0. Team hasn't given you much to believe in. Mm-hmm. Today, after you do win that game, to still get the stadium overtaken by Knicks fans, I think is just – I mean, it's embarrassing. This doesn't happen here. It doesn't happen at the Link. And it does not happen in Citizens Bank Park, where you can just hear. It
doesn't happen with the Flyers.
Sure. If I could remember what playoff hockey.
I'm just being real. Like, what people, I love to make fun of Flyers fans, but Flyers fans show up to the games like 100%. Like, there's like 18,000 Flyers fans and they go to every home game. Like, you would not see this at a Flyers home game. Let's just call it what it is.
You wouldn't feel it at Subaru Park either, right?
Absolutely right, you wouldn't. Yeah,
that's your day.
Although, when the Union made the playoffs the one year, I sold 2 games of my playoff tickets. So
you are a part of the problem. You are.
I am. Yes, as normal.
I don't know how that happens. And
can I give you a counterpoint as one might say. I don't know if you ever heard that phrase.
Yeah.
I do think from a purely like spectator standpoint, the amount of Knicks fans in that stadium did make the atmosphere kind of awesome. Like it felt like almost like a neutral bowl game, which is not what the Sixers want. But that game felt from the beginning, like the first possession felt like game seven of the final. Like it was an intense crowd. And while you were right, and especially in Philly, it is something that is not going to go over well, that Knicks fans took over that stadium. And yeah, but it did make for an awesome atmosphere.
Well, it made me hate them. Like I actually, so all year we've been talking on this podcast, like I like this Knicks team. Like I like watching the Knicks. And then the second I had to play them in the postseason, I hate
them.
I really do. I really do. Yeah. Speaking of that, can someone just, like, can we get Big Dom? I don't know who. Can someone just take John Starks out back and have
it's
a conversation?
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Like, can we just have a sit-down conversation with John Starks? And
dude, he's on the court.
I know. I mean, Spike should be ashamed. If there's one person that should be ashamed, I mean, it's Spike Eskin. I mean, John Starks.
Yeah, Spike should be courtside
player.
Doing the same thing.
Well, it's his favorite player of all time, John Starks, and he's
good point. Yeah,
he's rubbing it in our face about how good this Knicks team is. I can't take it. So someone needs to have a sit down conversation with John Starks, especially if there's a game six. If there's a game six,
Starks. They can't let him in the arena.
Yeah, that's as simple as that.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And maybe they win the last two games if they take down the Nova banners inside the Wells Fargo Center.
There was a shot today where I forget what it was, but they were like showing the banners for the Sixers. Oh, they're showing Adam Silver, and then they were showing the banners in the Sixers, and they showed the Wings banners. I'm not like a gatekeeping on banner guy, but it has to not be Wings banners and Nova. Like if I'm the Sixers and I want to make an argument for building my stadium, it is I'm showing on my slideshow Wings banners and Nova banners up in the rafters.
Sure. I think that's totally fair. Good to see Josh Harris there. I know it a good draft.
In a hoodie, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a hoodies man.
Just a sports fan at his game caring. I'm sure he's devastated right now.
Oh, he's probably not over it. He's probably
just sitting there quietly courtside. Yeah.
Exactly. As he's looking at Jaden Daniels highlights.
And Jaden Daniels is also sad to be on the Washington.
Yep. And dude, they gotta re-sign Lowry. I mean, I know like tonight sucked, today sucked, but he made some plays late. And how about another issue with this basketball team? Like Lowry misses the free throw on purpose, and Oubre and Maxey have no idea. How does that happen? How is there no conversation?
Not just that. Even if they didn't communicate it, why aren't you crashing the boards? Even if there's no communication, why aren't you going in case he misses it? It's kind of one shot that perfectly shows the difference between the Sixers and the Knicks. Maxey, and I think it was Oubre, right? Maxey and Oubre are out on the perimeter. It should have been communicated. It wasn't, whatever. I will say for a Nick Nurse team that we think Nurse is a good head coach, there's a lot of situational basketball things that they don't do well. They don't inbound the ball well. There was the game two debacle where they did a bunch of little things. The ref screwed them, but they did a bunch of things that hurt them. And then today, I mean, could you imagine if the Eagles didn't communicate something like that on a massive play of the game? People would want Sirianni's head. So,
wow. They did that a lot last year, to be fair.
And people wanted Nick fired, Nick Sirianni. We'll see about Nick Nurse. But even if it wasn't communicated, why is Maxey and Embiid not crashing the glass there?
Well, Maxey and Oubre, man.
Maxey and Oubre. Why are they not crashing the glass?
I don't know. Especially if that's the plan.
Yes.
But either way, Lowry made enough plays late. Like he's not a scorer at all. But
no.
I trust him with an open three. I trust him late in games. And if you can get, like, I don't know, Paul George, like maybe it works. But holy cow. I mean, what a devastating loss.
Do you think they win game five?
If they do win game five, they're winning the series. I'm just letting
you know. Yeah, I'm back. If they win game five, we're back in. And you can ignore everything else in this pod. They're winners. They're tough. They can take a hit. But I don't think they're winning game five. I think it's over on Tuesday.
Don't let the Sixers win game five.
There it is.
I
need the tweet from you right now.
Don't let the Sixers win game
five.
If they do, it's over. But I just, it's been a coin flip series. It feels like same old Sixers. But it's not the same old clap your hands. That's the only difference is not the same. Hey, new team, new year, new podcast.
Exactly right.
Elliot, Phils are on. And
sucks, buddy. Tough one. But at least you got your Stott home run.
And Taiwan's on the mound. To make
How's he looking? Feel.
He's allowed 3 hits, but he's not allowed to run yet. So
what inning efficient. Is it?
It's the second.
Okay. It's
the second. All right. A lot of ball game left.
All right.
A lot of ball game left. All right. For Elliot Shore Parks and Jack Fritz, this has been another edition of Clap Your Hands. We will be back post-game, game 5.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.